You're listening to OWW Radio,
the official radio show of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
All right. All right, so here we are. Living it day by day, you are a superstar. And that's what she used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each week, OWW Radio will bring perspective to the WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. I'm your co-host, David, and I'm joined by my friend and fellow co-host, Alex. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, David. It's nice to talk to you the day after Thanksgiving. And it was a good holiday for me and my family. How was it for you and your family, David?
It was a good Thanksgiving, and well, first of all, the Cowboys came all the way back from 14 points down to beat the Oakland Raiders. So, I mean, it was a little closer than I was hoping, but I'm glad Dallas got the win, so that helped a lot.
If you could schedule the Raiders every year, Cowboys would have a history of good Thanksgiving games, at least in the last 10 years.
Well, and I was a little nervous when they had the blue jerseys on at home. Dallas traditionally does not play well in those blue shirts, so. And then they got down 21-7, and here we go again. And of course, the game's right during dinner time, which usually spoils my appetite. But they came back and won, so that was nice. We did have a good Thanksgiving, and certainly want to wish all the listeners out there a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. And, we all have a lot to be thankful for, so it's a good time to reflect on that.
Absolutely, and I'm looking forward to talking a multitude of things that we're thankful for in the world of professional wrestling.
Absolutely. And before we jump into the show, we did want to do something a little different this week. Like you said, in a spirit of Thanksgiving, we're going to count down 10 things we are thankful for. But I wanted to talk about your last Grappler's Quest tournament. You had a lot of success. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I was won a gold medal at the tournament, and our team did well overall. My coach won a gold medal as well, and two other guys from my gym won silver. I mean, when we go to these tournaments, I was looking at the team awards ranting one night because the winner of the team awards brought like over 150 competitors. And being a small gym from a small city, we couldn't accumulate that. But for our bringing four guys and four of us meddling, that was very good.
I didn't realize that you competed as a team.
Well, you bring a team. I mean, it would be similar to like a tennis or maybe a boxing event, I guess, where you bring four or five people, and then they all compete, and then there's team awards, you know? But no, the competition is a single competition.
Okay. Well, congratulations to you. Gold medal, that's something to be very proud of.
Yeah, and so hopefully it'll, I got a tournament probably coming up in January, and Rebecca and I are actually traveling to Torrance, California early next year, train at the Gracie Academy for a day, so... And I'm going up to Washington, hopefully next year. I've been saying that every year, it feels like. But hopefully next year I can get up to Seattle, Washington, and train with the editor of the Figure Four Weekly, Brian Alvarez. So I have an invite to go up there. So just seeing how far I can take this thing and before we get saddled down with a kid or whatever.
Well, that's exciting, and a little tough here. Say you have a possible tournament in January, right after the holidays. I know that after the holidays, for me, that I'm not training as much as or in the gym as much. You got to stay focused, right?
Well, late January, so I mean, you can kind of slack off a little bit. Yeah, it's it'll give you a little bit of time, but yeah, I might compete a division up than what I weight class wise than what I wanted to, but it is what it is. By the summer, there's the big UFC Fan Expo, and they do a Grappler's Quest there, and then you have competitors from all across the world competing. So hopefully by then, I'll be in tip top shape. So got a few months.
So we said we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to go ahead and count down the 10 things that we're thankful for. Now, you've come up with five. I've come up with five. We don't know what each other's topics are going to be, so it didn't kind of be new for each of us. But what do you think? You ready to go?
Yeah, let's ring the bell. Okay, the first thing I would like to say I'm thankful for is Ring of Honor Television. Recently, we got Ring of Honor Television here and affiliate in Reno, Nevada. And actually, Sinclair Broadcasting, the company that owns Ring of Honor, recently bought, I believe, our NBC affiliate, which puts them to three affiliates in the local area. three different opportunities for you to catch Ring of Honor television. But I'm thankful for it because it's an hour-long television program. It's not overloaded with a lot of storylines. Recently, I saw on a message board a few people complain about the lack of storylines in Ring of Honor, about how important characters such as Matt Taven and the Ring of Honor tag champions Red Dragon aren't like in these immense storylines. But actually, I kind of like that. I mean, it's a one-hour television show. You get some character development, but a lot of guys just are their characters and they're not entrenched in extreme storylines, but not everyone has to be on a professional wrestling broadcast. And it's a breath of fresh air, best wrestling television product on, that's kind of an ox. It's the best wrestling product on television, in my opinion, right now.
Well, that's interesting. I have not seen this show, and I like the fact that it's 1 hour. That kind of reminds me of the wrestling I watched growing up.
In some ways, it will do that. You know, it's very simply built. you know, something as simple, David, is, you know, when's the last time you've actually heard of this? Is 1 week they'll say, next week, wrestler A, wrestler B, and then they actually go through and have those two people face off the next week. And it's very easy to follow. They do a good job explaining what's going on. I mean, it's just a very... There's a lot going on in the World Wrestling Entertainment universe, as they call it, and sometimes I think it's even a little bit too much for maybe the guys producing the television. You know, I remember there was a day where you could, you know, a wrestler would make an off comment, and that would come to effect like 6 months later, like, oh my goodness, remember when Randy Savage said this, you know, and it became important later.
Right.
Well, now you don't so much get that anymore, and you're not really paid off to even care about stuff like that. You know, like I see people sometimes say, oh, well, you know, this will come into play later because Randy Orton made this comment. But generally it won't, you know. It was just an off comment that he made. And
well, let me ask you this. During Ring of Honor television, do they have promos and do kind of behind-the-scenes backstage material?
No, they don't. They have they do promos from a set, and they do their promos there. You know, next week I'm facing so-and-so, and here's why I want to beat them, and blah, 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 blah. It's very, it's not, no locker room interactions.
I'm thankful that I did not order Survivor Series. I really usually enjoy Survivor Series, Alex, and it's one of the few shows that I put on my calendar that I normally call my cable operator, as they used to say, and pay the money to see, because traditionally I've enjoyed it, and I have good memories from it, you know, of course, when it started way back in the 80s, but I read the results from this past pay-per-view, and boy, I thought it was, first of all, a very average card with very predictable results all the way through. It seems like Survivor Series has become almost a filler pay-per-view, and that's kind of a shame for me.
You know, what's interesting is a few years ago, the company considered changing the name of the show as if that were the problem. But so without knowing the results, right, because the result, I mean, predictable results, I don't think inherently is a bad thing. But were you just not interested in the predictability of the results? Like, for example, if there was a big babyface going in for a big win, for example, John Cena and Batista the year at WrestleMania, they won the titles. That was kind of predictable finishes. But were you... the excitement just wasn't there for the predictable finishes?
Well, for example, seeing Randy Orton against the Big Show is just not getting me to pay $50. You know, John Cena versus Alberto Del Rio, these are just not championship matches. And I'm, you know, if it was on Raw or if the show cost $10, I would be fine with that. But it's a financial commitment, and I didn't want to pay it. I have to be selective in the pay-per-views that I order. I did like that Mark Henry came back, and that was nice. But, you know, to pay that kind of money, and, you know, we've had so many here in the fall, it seems like they have one every 3 weeks now, it just was too much, and I read the results, and I just didn't have any regret at all that I didn't order it. I mean, I'm glad that we're moving, Alex, into WrestleMania season here, you know, come the new year with Royal Rumble, and it just feels like that's when things kind of get important again. Nothing from Survivor Series felt important. Am I wrong about that?
Well, you know, it felt... The interesting thing to me was that we had a few Survivor Series rematches the next very night on Raw. So you pay the $50 for the pay-per-view or whatever it is at this point, and the next night you have a few rematches on Raw. So it'll be interesting when these shows go to the network. I think I'd be more inclined to watch them because I just can't pay the $50 for, like you said, the frequency of shows and generally not good product when you get the shows.
Well,
not, as far as the results kind of don't mean as much as what they meant at another time. So I feel like I can get enough through just watching Raw.
That's exactly right. For example, Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, they beat the Wyatts. Big deal. They beat them every Monday night anyway.
I mean, right.
It wasn't like that was the blow-off, and now, you know, we have this big revelation or storyline milestone or something. It's like, oh, well, now Monday Night Raw, they have a rematch, and they'll have a Raw on SmackDown, and Raw, and they'll have a rematch at TLC, and it's just, you know what I mean? I don't feel like I missed anything, and that's the key to pay-per-view, is you have to feel like you missed something.
Absolutely, and I remember at another time, like in 96, 97, when I didn't order a pay-per-view, I always got that feeling like, oh, man, I missed the event last night. And while you were caught up what happened on Raw and Nitro, they didn't give away the store, you know? And it's kind of unfortunate because now it seems like the television is more important than the pay-per-view. Hopefully I didn't steal this topic from you, David, but the next one I selected was Total Divas. Again, our show every week. Excellent storylines, excellent character development, very entertaining. I like this show a lot, and it's something my wife enjoys as well, so her and I are able to sit together and watch this show every week, and it's a good time.
Well, what's funny is I did have that down. I am thankful for Total Divas, and for the exact same reasons you just mentioned. I think it's interesting, and I do like the fact that my wife enjoys it. And, you know, whether it's fabricated drama, whatever it is, there's parts of it that are fairly interesting, and even the whole John Cena, Nikki Bella storyline with, you know, getting her to sign a cohabitation agreement, and it felt like there was some real emotion there. I enjoy the program. I don't know if that's like not the coolest thing to say. I don't really care. I enjoy it. I think they could tweak it a little bit, make it a little bit better. But for an hour a week, you know, again, wife watches it. It's a nice compliment, I think, to Raw and some of the other programming.
That's a Freudian slip if I've ever heard one, Nikki Belly. yes. You know, and the thing is, if you're watching it to see what backstage rumors are true or not true, I mean, it's not a show that's going to break down the walls and let you know on the inside world of these professional wrestlers. But you get to see some interesting things. But I take the show, you know, as mostly being written and script and worked, but nonetheless, it's still very entertaining. I enjoy the show every week, and I like the show.
Well, I liked when, did you see this past, when Natalya was getting jealous of that Tyson Kidd was training with Eva Marie?
Yes.
And then she grabbed Fandango, and they were training, and then Tyson got a little irritated with Fandango. I mean, Fandango's like, what do you want me to do, man? She wants. I mean, it looked, whether they're acting or not, it looked kind of interesting and real to me.
I couldn't imagine in a real scenario, Eva Marie feeling. I don't know. It seemed extremely contrived to me, but it was entertaining nonetheless. But man, Tyson and Natalya, I'm happy they feel they have a strong relationship. But the world of professional wrestling is littered with couples who have strong relationships who do angles like this that don't end up making it. So I hope that's not the case with them.
I have to say that I don't love Tyson Kidd on this show. I think he comes across kind of whiny. I haven't really enjoyed his part of this show, and I could do without the Funkadactyls sometimes. There's a lot of drama there, but I think in general, two thumbs up. I'm glad. It's funny we both put it on the list. Alex, I'm thankful for the internet coverage of pro wrestling, and you know, certainly I enjoy working on OWW with you and the other staff. I'm very thankful for the staff members we have that help keep this site going, and hopefully the readers enjoy it. But I really am thankful for the opportunity to follow other promotions and to watch, you know, their progress. And the internet helps make stars of other wrestlers. It gets them exposure. I love the videos on YouTube. I mean, there's parts of the internet I don't love sometimes with the rumors and the spoilers and things like that. But in general, the internet has really improved how I enjoy pro wrestling as a fan. Is that true for you?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely gives you a lot more access to a lot more things that are interesting to you specifically, so you can kind of craft your experience. For example, if you're a TNA diehard and you're not interested in hearing any kind of negative news about the company, there's websites out there available to you where you can specifically listen to those sites. And if you're interested in wrestling news, wrestling backstage stuff, tabloid-type stuff, it's all available to you on the internet. And the social media wrestling fan network is also something that, you know, you might have had one or two friends when you were growing up that watched professional wrestling, but now there's, I know David goes to WrestleMania every year, and there's a group of people that he meets up with, you know, and he can keep up with what they're doing on the internet.
You mean me?
Yes, you, yeah. And, yes, I don't, yeah. And so the internet has definitely done a lot to improve the experience of professional wrestling.
I mentioned again, the videos on YouTube are outstanding. I mean, it's unbelievable. You type in any wrestler and they have just tons of matches on there, classic matches. That's fantastic. There was an injury recently, Alex. Did you see the cut that cheerleader Melissa got over her eye?
No.
She wrestled in a show recently. I think it was Shimmer out in the Chicago area, and took an elbow or a face plant in the mat, and she put about an inch and a half cut straight above her left eye that looks like it was just like dug out with a razor blade. I mean, it was really a severe cut. And, you know, she posted on Twitter, and, you know, she's doing fine, thank goodness. But it was kind of cool in that, you know, we could kind of go on that journey with her and, you know, feel bad for her, but see her get better and kind of stay connected with some of these stars that aren't on Raw every night. And then, even if they are on Raw, that would be so scrubbed. I mean, I remember growing up, I mean, I didn't even know Miss Elizabeth and Randy Savage were married in the 80s. I mean, I can't even fathom that now. You know what I mean?
What I find interesting is that when I used to collect tapes as a kid, that used to be a selling point, like, oh, watch cheerleader Melissa get busted up and, or whatever. There was all this rare footage that tape collectors had. But now, I mean, any piece of rare professional wrestling footage, you can go to YouTube and find it. And that's kind of cool.
Oh, that's interesting, though, about the tapes and about rare footage. Yeah, that's a good point. Of course, we still want people to go to OWW every day, right?
Absolutely. The next thing that I'm thankful for is Black Friday at WWN Live. World Wrestling Network is the brainchild of Gabe Sapolsky and the guys over at Dragon USA and Evolve and FIP. And essentially what they've done is they've marked down all of their historical iPay-per-views down to $10. So you can literally just go to their store, buy some iPay-per-views for $10, and then you can stream them on multiple devices and stream them whenever you want. You don't lose access to them. Because I think it's the stupidest thing in the world. If anybody's listening that maintains one of these sites, if I buy an iPay-per-view and I only get access to it for 90 days, I'm not going to buy it from you. I want to be able to watch this whenever I want to. I remember a few years ago, I bought some Ring of Honor iPay-per-views on GoFi Live, and I still have access to them today. I shouldn't lose access ever. So $10 iPay-per-views, it's good. I bought a few last night for Black Friday, and it's a really good deal.
Can you watch them more than once?
Yes, you can. Yes. Once you buy it for $10, you have unlimited access to it. Like I said, I can watch the whole show today, tomorrow. 2 years from now, I can go back and watch the show if I like. And so it's real nice, you know. And then someone with a giant DVD catalog like I have, it's nice to be able to purchase some shows and not have the physical copy of them in your house because that frustrates your wife sometimes.
Yeah. So yeah, that's nice. You have basically a virtual library.
Absolutely, and it's very easy to use. They utilize PayPal, and that way you're not, you know, putting in your credit card information with a site you may not know or something. You know, I know some people are still concerned about that. So, yeah, absolutely. I think it's always a good deal. Last year they did it as well, and I bought a few last year as well. And if you're interested ever in checking out, you know, I just want to check out one Dragon USA show, just to see what it's all about. You can go there and spend $10. It's not like a big commitment you're making.
Any other promotions other than Dragon Gate USA that you do this for?
Utilize Black Friday sales. I mean,
yeah.
My wife and I, we were looking around for a few Black Friday sales, specifically about jiu-jitsu gear, because that's kind of something we're interested in.
No, no, no.
Right,
I mean, like Evolve or Shine or any, you know, any other promotions under the Black Friday sales for WWN Live.
Yes, there is. Under the WWN Live banner, there's Shine, there's Dragon USA, Evolve, FIP, So there's a few companies that are under that banner where you can go and you can purchase them the same way, and it's a very easy to use site, and it's extremely easy to use. So I would suggest anyone taking the time to at least check it out.
Alex, I'm thankful that the Hulk Hogan era in TNA appears to be over. I love Hulk Hogan. I grew up on Hulk Hogan, and I recognize his contributions all the way through with WWE and WCW and you know, to some degree in TNA over the years. But it's time for that promotion to distance themselves from Hulk Hogan, from his overall presence, I think. I mean, it just seems like it's a foot in the past. They need to look to the future, and I do think they have some stars there that can help carry him. Are you glad to see Hogan appearing to move on now?
Yeah, because I felt like he had... there's nothing he can really offer to a company on the rise, so I'm happy to see him no longer involved with TNA. The secret of TNA is that they actually did better at a time when they were a smaller overall company. It's like it's not like the story of ECW, where ECW kind of couldn't keep up. It needed to, it was growing at a rate faster than what the money was coming in, right? So mm-hmm. It was getting more and more popular. More and more content could be delivered, and they were attempting to deliver more and more content, but there wasn't the support, sponsors, and a lot of things to keep the money. And plus, when you don't have a, you know, I mean, everyone admits that money was mismanaged with that company.
Right.
In TNA, what you kind of have is they kind of grew faster than what people wanted them to grow. I think they thought the support was there. Listen, TNA has diehard fans, very rabid, very diehard fans. And I think they get the message from those guys, like, let's grow, we have the support, let's move to Monday. But then the support never ends up being there for the product long term. And a lot of that was because Russo burnt the forest over there. But specifically back to Hogan, I mean, there's nothing Hogan really can do for a small upcoming company to kind of help it. I mean, that hopefully we've learned that now. But in WWE, he's going to be a very utilized legend, and it's going to be interesting to see if he goes back with that company. Hopefully he does, because the company's embracing a lot more of the history. Bruno Sammartino's back with the company doing stuff. So hopefully they get Hogan back in there, and hopefully have like a round table with like Bruno and Austin and Hogan. That'd be neat.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you would support Hogan going back to WWE, and I'd be fine with that as well. I guess they're talking him to appear at WrestleMania 30, which would be interesting, but in general, I'm just glad I think it's time for TNA to move on and look towards the future.
I'm thankful for Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar in WWE. I think of all the talent that has been in WWE this year, I think Paul Heyman's probably had the best year. I think he's been very awesome almost each and every week on television that he's appeared. And Brock Lesnar adds something to the product that hasn't been there in a while. I enjoy very much Brock Lesnar. He had a really, really good match with CM Punk at SummerSlam. So I'm very thankful for those two.
Well, I started to appreciate him, and I think I started to appreciate him even more, Alex, because I don't think the other roster members can even touch him. I mean, I think he's really, really elite in the biggest wrestling company in the world. Just showing what a true talent and pioneer. He's unbelievable on the microphone. His facial expressions, he really, to me, is a little bit of an old school, how he sells the action of his wrestlers in the ring, the way Bobby Heenan did back in the day. Absolutely agree with you there. Love Paul Heyman. You know, I have a bit of a problem with Brock Lesnar. I like his matches. I like him, and then he disappears for 6 months. And I just don't fundamentally like that business model, although I do understand it. But the two of them are great. I like Paul Heyman the best, I guess, when he was with CM Punk. Feels like they tried to elevate Curtis Axel. Do you like that pairing?
No, but it didn't really work. So, I mean, I think, you know, it didn't really bring Curtis up to that level, just like it really didn't with the Ryback either. So,
right.
No, I didn't really care for that pairing. But Heyman is an old-school manager. I mean, Heyman, of course, was around in the 80s. He was with Eddie Gilbert in a few different territories before he kind of got his footing in ECW in early 92, 93. And, yeah, I mean, Paul Heyman is playing chess while everyone else is out there playing checkers. They should be teaching all the guys what Paul Heyman does and not some of the stuff, I guess, they teach him in Tampa.
Great point. If you were anybody in professional wrestling starting out, and you need to watch tape of this guy and just see the way he works the crowd and sells the action in the ring. I think people may forget how difficult it is. Your face is so critical, right? Because the television camera's right up on you. Plus, you've got to sell the action to the person in the last row. And his body mannerisms, they match up with his facial expressions, and he just tells a great story in the ring. I couldn't have more respect for him as a performer than I do.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Alex, I'm thankful for WrestleCon and similar conventions. Last year was the first year that I went to WrestleCon, and I wasn't looking that forward to it and thought I would just, you know, walk through, see what was there. And I really ended up enjoying it, seeing all the memorabilia, the merchandise for sale, seeing how excited people were to be able to pay money to meet. You know, you have to pay, of course, but you have the ability to pick and choose who you want to meet, who you want to get an autograph from. And I realized it was a really nice way for the fans to feel connected to the business. And it's great, of course, for the wrestlers. They can make some money and sell their 8x10s and their DVDs. But for the fans, this is something that I think is a great opportunity. Have you been to WrestleCon? Do you like those kind of conventions?
No, I've never been to a WrestleCon. And actually, what's funny is that a few years ago, there was a Wrestle Fan Fest, which was notorious for its... have you ever heard of the story about the Wrestle Fan Fest?
Tell me.
Basically, promoters had booked this giant fan fest in San Francisco at the Cow Palace, and a lot of people didn't get paid. There was a lot of debauchery going on with the promoters and the wrestlers. And it's interesting that some wrestlers, they're very sometimes they make demands of promoters that maybe people don't understand, but a lot of these guys, they get ripped off, and this was a situation where a lot of wrestlers got ripped off. I remember talking to Road Warrior Animal, for example. There's plenty of stuff all over the internet about it, but Animal was telling me about how he flew after seeing his son play football at Ohio State and had to fly into this Wrestle Fan Fest. He was extremely pissed off because he could have spent an extra time with his family. But, yeah, but I also went to one in San Francisco put on by Big Time Wrestling a few years ago. That was an awesome experience. So, yeah, definitely. There's a lot of collectibles around. They're usually good times.
Well, I like the fact, for example, if you want to meet the Ultimate Warrior at WrestleCon, that you can. You have the opportunity to pay, buy a ticket, and also a lot of the vendors then are selling really unique Ultimate Warrior items that he could sign for you, 16x20 pictures or, you know, unique lithographs or whatever, action figures. Now, as a collector, I've collected autographs now for about 25 years, and I like the option of picking and choosing what I want signed and who I want it signed by in that limited amount of time that I'm there. So for me, I had a great time last year, and I look forward to going. You know, I think it's in New Orleans on WrestleMania weekend again this year. So in general, I like that access. In fact, let me just say before we finish the topic, I like it a lot better than WWE access. I think those lines are too long, and you know, I mean, how many times do you want to meet Heath Slater? No offense to Heath, he's a good wrestler, but you have a better access at these WrestleCon conventions to meet the stars you want versus like, oh, this line is shorter because CM Punk's line's, you know, 1,000 people long.
And the final thing I'm thankful for, David, is kind of along the same lines, I guess, of WrestleCon would be WrestleMania. This event has taken on a new life each and every year, and while the product throughout the year doesn't really feel fulfilling, certainly right now, the product is it's terrible right now. Hopefully I wouldn't get much argument about that, but WrestleMania always puts wrestling in the spotlight, kind of makes it cool for one night, kind of makes it really big for one night, and WrestleMania is always the high point of the wrestling calendar.
No question, and I like the fact it goes from different cities, and WrestleMania 30 has a special feel. So, and I love the fact that we have WrestleMania season starting basically as we go into the Royal Rumble. But I do agree with you that I don't think the product is terrible right now. I think it just doesn't feel important. Would you support any kind of wrestling off season? I mean, one thing about the NFL, you know, we have several months to miss it. And the teams go away, and then we have training camp, and it goes in the season. I know they can't do that with professional wrestling in that sense, but isn't there some kind of way they can keep the product fresh by not giving us so much content every week?
Yeah. I don't know how USA and other people feel about that, but yeah, I've definitely talked about that, not recently, but definitely in the past, especially when a lot of the deaths were happening so frequently, which is something that you really don't hear about much anymore, is the big string of wrestling deaths. But yeah, I mean, right now it feels to me like a lot of writer's fatigue and the product. I mean, I don't know. This product right now is real terrible to me. They're putting the stuff they're putting on, I'm not interested in, and they're not really doing a good job of making me interested in it. But I don't know. That could be a fix, or utilizing NXT in a different way. I've talked about this for years, where you cycle some of your big names through NXT every once in a while, so your younger guys get experience working with the big names. I always remember specifically in Ohio Valley how Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit went down there and wrestled with the Nick Densmores and Danny Bashams, and I think that'd be a good idea if they did that now, where they have Antonio Cesaro and some real good guys go down there. But if they had some bigger names, you know, that way they weren't working on the road every night. And yeah, there's different ways to skin that cat.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about that. And I think part of it too is they have so much content on TV. There's only so many matches you're interested in. You know, there's only so many matchups you're interested in. When Hogan and Savage, when the Mega Powers exploded at WrestleMania 5, well, that had been a storyline a year and a half in the making at that point, Alex. You know, if they would have had them join forces and then a month later, they're on every pay-per-view for 4 months. I mean, after a while, there's just no big matches left out there that really make you want to go crazy. And, you know, maybe Big Show and Randy Orton, I'd have been more excited about it if this would have happened at WrestleMania, which is what would have happened 20 years ago. They would have let this breathe, expand out. Now it happened a couple weeks later, and basically the feud's over.
Oh, you would have seen Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage wrestle 4 or 5 times on Raw, too.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, John Cena, Alberto Del Rio, how many matches do they have going into their big match of Survivor Series? I mean, I'm thankful for WrestleMania, but yeah, I'm certainly not thankful for utilization of the content. It's too much content. I understand that's the lifeblood of the company. That's what's keeping it alive, is providing all this content for cash. But it goes back to my first thing I was thankful for, is that sometimes it's really nice for a professional wrestling company to just give you clear, concise, focused professional wrestling and not a ton of content, you know. But that's why Ring of Honor is where it's at, and that's why WWE is where it's at.
Yeah. We were going to do one more topic, but since we both had Total Divas on there, ironically, so that's what we had for today. I did want to say again, I'm very thankful for the staff here at OWW. All of you helped make this a great site. You, of course, Alex, a big help as well. And thank you for being my radio co-host. I always enjoy recording with you.
Oh, well, thank you. I enjoy recording with you as well.
Before we wrap up, we should mention the recent passing of Maurice Mad Dog Vachon. He was a true wrestling legend. He's a WWE Hall of Famer. And we just want to say from us here at OWW, I hope you rest in peace, Mad Dog, and thank you for your impact on the business. Don't forget to check out the OWW website and onlineworldofwrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. While you're there, you can also catch up on past episodes of OWW Radio. Email us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com to submit topics or questions you would like us to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM to get all program updates and announcements. We'll post directly to the official OWW Facebook homepage. Till next time, I am David.
And this is Alex.
We hope you enjoyed the program. Have a happy holiday, and we'll be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio. All right, well, that's the